through the roaring crowd, the sound around me dulls into a faint hum, and my head starts spinning slightly. I push my way past the blurry gatherings of people and very nearly have a seizure when I clock Jesse standing a few meters ahead of me in the doorway of the bar. Oh, shit! I freeze on the spot. I knew he wouldn't be able to leave me be, not even for a few hours to enjoy a few glasses of well-earned wine. My vision might be challenged, but there is no mistaking the pure fury that spread across his handsome features. I don't know why. I'm not drunk. I've had a few glasses of wine, and I've enjoyed them. He's the one with the drink issue, not me. And with that thought, I stagger slightly again. We stand staring at each other for a few moments. Then he starts stalking toward me. I make a grab for a table when I feel my legs wobble, and the change in his approaching expression from rage to pure terror is the last thing I see before the black sets in and I become weightless. Chapter 27. Jesse, calm down! She had three glasses of wine. She wasn't drunk! My eyes are attacked by fluorescent lighting and bright white at every wall. I feel like I've been bashed over the head with an iron bar. Where the hell am I? I close my eyes again and reach up to brush away a lock of hair that's tickling my cheek, the soft contact of my hand on my head stabbing at my brain. Ava? His voice is quiet and his hand clamped around mine. Ava, baby, open your eyes. I try my best, but it is too bloody painful. Fuck! What is wrong with me? Is this the worst hangover ever? I don't remember drinking that much. Will someone tell me what the fuck is going on? He roars. I snap my eyes open again and gaze around my unfamiliar surroundings. The only familiar thing is that irate voice. And it's a strange comfort to me, but God, it's playing havoc with my sensitive head. I reach up to clasp my aching skull. Ava, baby. I squint my eyes in an attempt to focus, and I'm met with a green, grief-stricken pair. The feel of his warm palm stroking my head has me groaning in protest. It hurts. Hi. I squeak. My throat is raspy and dry. Oh, thank fucking God. He smothers my face in kisses, and I beat him away. I can't breathe. Ava, chick, are you okay? I follow the sound of another familiar voice and find Sam leaning over me, looking the most serious I've ever seen him. What's going on? Does she fucking look all right? Jesse yells in Sam's face. For fuck's sake! Calm down! I know that voice too. I flick my sensitive eyes around the room and find Kate sitting in a chair opposite me. Where am I? I ask through my dryness. I need some water. You're in hospital, baby. He strokes my face and kisses my forehead again. What on earth am I doing in hospital? I try to sit up, but I'm met with the full force of Jesse pressing down on me. I slap his persistent hands away and scramble into a sitting position, prompting my hands to fly up and grasp my head when the full force of gravity crashes in around my brain. Holy shit, this really is the worst hangover ever. I groan and cross my legs in front of myself, resting my elbows on my knees and my head in my hands. Something tugs at my arm. I look across to see an IV line in my arm. Someone get the fucking doctor in here, Jesse yells, making me wince. Kate stays put, but Sam leaves the room. Ava, what happened? Kate's voice is laced with complete concern, a rare reaction from her. I don't know, I reply, resting my head back against the headboard. I feel incredibly sleepy again. "I do," Jessie exclaims, looking at me accusingly. I use all of my depleted energy to throw him a filthy look. "I wasn't drunk."
"You pass out from being sober often, do you?"
he yells. It makes me wince, piercing my tender ears. He has the decency to look remorseful when I reopen my eyes.
"Don't shout at her," Kate defends me.
I'm grateful. He throws her a look, stuffs his hands in his jean pockets, and starts pacing up and down the room.
"She had a few glasses of wine. She's got through 2 bottles before and not passed out."
Kate sits next to me and rubs my arm.
"Did you eat?"
I cast my mind back.
"Yes,"
I answer. Jessie fed me all day, between shipping clothes up the stairs and getting his fix of me. Jessie stops with a pacing, his lips getting a punishing chomp from his teeth.
"Are you pregnant?"
he asks, watching me carefully and returning to the chomping.
"No,"
I blurt, shocked at his forwardness, but then I freeze.
"Oh, good God.
My pills. I've not replaced my pills." I suddenly feel faint again. I'm hot, too. Oh, what a stupid woman I am. I've been having sex like a rabbit and with no protection. How did I let that slip? I glance at Jessie and pull my best unaffected face. He narrows his eyes on me.
"Are you sure?"
"Yes," I wince at my own shrill voice, tensing my arm to prevent my natural reflex from giving me away. Jessie will assume my tone is defensive.
"It's not. It's completely freaked." "I'm just asking,"
he resumes pacing.
"What do you remember?"
Kate asks, continuing to stroke my arm. I reflect on the evening, but I'm struggling to remember anything now. All I can think of is how many pills I've missed, and what the chances are of me being pregnant. I battle to fight off the worry and try to remember something, anything of last night. I remember Matt, but I won't be mentioning him.
Then I remember the swollen, slicked, ponytailed guy, but I won't be mentioning him either.
I shrug. There isn't a lot I can say without sending Jessie into neurotic orbit. Every head in the room turns to the door when the doctor enters, followed by Sam.
"I was told you were awake,"
he nods.
"I'm Dr. Manvi. How do you feel, Ava?"
"Fine," I say wearily. "My head is banging, but other than that, I'm fine." I hear Jessie growl beside me as he sits and takes my hand in his.
"Ava, it's 4 o'clock in the fucking morning."
He closes his eyes to regain his composure, not that he ever had it.
"You've been out cold for nearly 7 hours, so don't you dare say you're fine."
7 hours? "We'll go and get something to eat." Kate looks at Sam, and he nods his agreement at her suggestion. Clearly they don't want to be around Jessie in his current mood. Dr. Manvi shines a light in both of my eyes, and then pops the pencil-like contraption back in his top pocket.
"Ava, what do you remember about last night?"
"Not a lot." I feel Jessie's hand lock harder around mine, the anger still evident. I feel god-awful. I don't need this.
Dr. Manvi glances at Jessie. "You are?"
"Husband,"
he states sharply, without taking his greens off me. My eyes widen, but he remains impassive. He forgot to add the to be part.
"Oh?"
The doctor flicks through my papers.
"It says Miss O'Shea."
"We get married next month." His eyes drill into mine, daring me to challenge him. I don't have the energy. I flop my head back gingerly on the bed.
"Oh, okay."
Dr. Manvey seems satisfied with Jesse's explanation of who he is. I'm past caring.
We ran some routine tests.
He pulls up a chair, and it scrapes along the rubber floor, making me wince.
When was the date of your last period?
He looks at me with sympathetic eyes, and I want to crawl across the room and into the clinical waste bin.
A week-ish ago, I answer quietly.
I don't need to look at Jesse to know he's twitching.
Right. Well, it's routine for us to do a pregnancy test to try and establish what caused the blackout episode.
He pauses, and I brace myself for the hurricane that will be Jesse flying around the room in a complete frenzy.
You're not pregnant.
My head flies up.
I'm not?
Well, I say you're not, but if it's only been a week since your period, it may be too early to tell.
He smiles kindly, but it does nothing to settle me.
Do you use the contraceptive pill, Ava?
Yes.
Then I think we can safely say you're not pregnant.
He gives me a reassuring smile and leans forward.
Ava, it's important that you try to remember anything of last night, who you spoke to, who you met.
Jesse's animosity travels through our joined hands, attacking me.
What?
He snaps.
What are you trying to say?
I don't bother with scorning him for his rudeness, and Dr. Manvey continues, turning a blind eye.
We proceeded with a further test. Your symptoms prompted it.
Symptoms? What symptoms? I ask, completely confused.
The doctor inhales and shifts in his chair.
We found clear evidence of Rohypnol. What? Jesse roars.
My eyes widen and my heart starts hammering in my chest.
Oh, fucking hell.
Jesse flies up from his sitting position, dropping my hand, and I glance up nervously to find him shaking and sweating, the anger pouring from him.
As in date rape? He yells at the poor doctor.
Yes, Dr. Manvey confirms my fears and Jesse's. I spiral into panic at the doctor's diagnosis of my blackout episode.
Oh, this is so bad.
Jesse flies around and throws his head back.
Jesus fucking Christ!
He cries. I see the back of his shirt rising and falling violently as he braces his arms on a nearby metal unit.
Ava, I would advise you to notify the police. You need to tell them everything you remember.
Dr. Manvey turns to Jesse.
Sir, can you confirm whether she was alone at any point?
My mind races with the evening's events, but my mind won't allow me to put anything into place.
I don't think I was.
I watch as Jesse's fingertips reach for his temples and start circling. He's going to explode. He'll be like a whirlwind flying through the hospital. Suddenly, telling him I could be pregnant seems so much more appealing than this.
She wasn't alone, Jesse replies more calmly than I expected. I watched her hit the deck. I was there in a split second.
He turns to face me, and I stare into his tortured eyes. I feel devoid of any emotion. I think I might be in shock.
And you are sure of this?
Yes, Jesse all but growls.
Ava, I would like to do an examination, he pushes, for bruises and scratches initially, just to be sure.
I've checked every square inch of her. There isn't a mark on her.
Jesse stomps across the room and flings the door open.
Kate!
I hear a brief exchange of abrupt, muffled words from outside the door, no doubt Jesse pressing for answers. The doctor flicks a confused gaze from me to Jesse while I continue to rack my brain for something. He's by my side again.
Baby, Kate said she went for a cigarette, but Tom was with you. Can you remember that?
Yes, I answer quickly. I definitely remember that. But Tom went to the toilet while Kate was having a cigarette,
I add. Okay. Do you remember what happened during the time you were on your own? He pushes.
Yes.
I won't tell him why I remember. Holy shit, mentioning Matt would be a grave mistake.
Why?
Because I don't want anyone poking you about unless it's necessary. So please, think hard.
He squeezes my hand.
Before I arrived, were you okay? Do you remember everything?
Yes, I do.
That is good, Dr. Manby interjects. But Ava, I would be happier if you would consent to the examination.
No, I know nothing happened. I have no bruises, no cuts.
If you are 100% sure, Ava, I can't force you.
Nothing happened. I remember everything until Jesse arrived.
I look at Jesse.
I remember everything.
My voice is shaking. I'm shaking. He slides his palm over my cheek. I know. I believe you.
Okay. Well, all of your vitals are fine, Dr. Manby says. You'll have a sore head for a while, but other than that, you will make a full recovery. Once I've sorted your discharge papers and removed your IV, you can go home.
How long will that take?
Jesse has reverted back to madman.
Sir, we are in the aftermath of a Saturday night in central London. How long is a piece of string?
I'm taking her home now, Jesse says with utter finality.
I look up at him and know immediately it's a battle not worth fighting, not if you want to live. I lie back in a complete trance as the IV is removed and the doctor talks to Jesse. I hear nothing. It's all a muddled garble in the distance. How did this happen? I didn't once leave my drink unattended. I didn't accept a drink that was offered. I was careful and sensible. Jesus, what if I had gone to the toilet a few seconds earlier and missed Jesse at the door? I could have been unconscious and completely unaware of anything going on around me. I could have been raped. I'm attacked by unexpected tears and uncontrollable shakes as I start sobbing in my hands.
Ava, please don't cry.
I feel his warmth engulf me, holding me tight as my body jerks under him.
Baby, I'll get really crazy mad if you cry.
I sob relentlessly while he comforts me, muttering his own little curses and prayers above my head. I'm so sorry, I heave between sobs. I don't know why I'm sorry. Maybe for defying him and going out anyway. I really don't know. But I feel so remorseful.
Ava, please shut up.
He holds me tightly and strokes my hair. I'm aware of the frantic clatter of his heartbeat under my ear. When I finally regained a little control, I wipe away my tears and sniffle. I must look a mess. I'm fine, I say, taking a few calming breaths and pushing him away. I want to go home. I start to clamber from the bed, but I'm met by the fierceness of a tall, lean, green-eyed wall. He picks me up and carries me to the door, meeting Kate on the way.
Get her stuff, he orders, striding past her.
What's going on? Sam jumps up from the chair outside the room.
She was drugged.
Jesse doesn't stop to give any further explanation.
Oh, shit!
The horror in Sam's voice is clear. I hear Kate's heels trying to keep up with us.
Drugged?
Yes, he shouts as he proceeds down the corridor with me in his arms.
I'm taking her home.
I'm lowered into the DBS and secured in my seatbelt. I flinch when the door closes, and then I hear the mumble of voices outside the car. There's a subtle tap on the window, and when I look, I see Kate giving me the call me gesture. I nod my acknowledgement and rest my head against the window as Jesse slides in and places my shoes and bag in the footwell. I close my eyes again.
and drift off. I'm being placed into his huge bed, and I'm vaguely aware of my dress being removed and disapproving grumbles coming from Jesse, but I ignore him, rolling over and releasing a contented exhale of breath when I'm greeted with my most favorite smell in the world, fresh water and mint. I know I'm back where I belong. Chapter 28. Oh, God! I stretch out, and it is the most satisfying stretch I have ever executed. Propping myself up, I crane my neck and gaze around the room to find it empty of any other inhabitants, so I gingerly shift to the edge of the bed and sink my bare feet into the lush cream carpet, bracing myself for an attack of dizziness as I stand. But nothing happens. I feel surprisingly steady. I pad across the bedroom and out onto the landing to see Jesse below, sitting back in one of his huge armchairs, talking quietly on his mobile. He's showered and shaved, and is wearing some pale blue jeans. He's naked from the waist up. I lower myself quietly onto the top step and watch him through the curving glass that leads down to the big open space. He looks fresh, but troubled. "I don't know," he says quietly, picking at the fabric on the arm of the chair. "I swear to God, I'll claw their fucking eyes out." He moves his hand from the arm and rubs his eyes. "I'm close, John. I really need it. Fuck, it's a mess." Oh, God. Am I pushing him toward drink again? As if he's heard my silent question, his eyes flick up and find mine. I shift uncomfortably on the top step as he studies me. "See what you can find out, John. I won't be in for a few days." "Yeah. Thanks, big man." His phone slides into the center of his palm, but his hand remains by his ear, his elbow resting on the arm. I feel like a complete intruder. He sits in his chair, and I sit on the top step for the longest time, just staring at each other through the glass. I have no idea what to say to him. I wanted to prove that he was being unreasonable with his over-the-top protectiveness, but now I've just made it 100% worse. He's never going to let me out of his sight. As I'm contemplating my next move, he rises from his chair and starts walking toward the bottom of the stairs. I follow his slow climb up until he's standing a few steps below me, looking down at me. His expression is flicking from anger to sorrow, back and forth, and his frown line looks like it's been set in place for a long, long while. "If you're going to shout at me, then I'll go now," I say through the dryness of my throat. "I don't need Mr. Neurotic on my case. I just want to forget about it and think myself lucky that it wasn't worse. It could have been so much worse." "I've shouted enough," he replies, and I detect the hoarseness of his own voice. "How do you feel?" "Fine." I rip my eyes away from his and stare down at my bare feet. I'm naked except for my black lacy underwear, and I feel small with him towering over me like this. "Ish?" he asks. "No, fine." I sound stroppy. He lowers himself to his knees, so we're on a more equal level, and plants his hands on the top step, on either side of my body. I glance up from my feet to look at him. "I'm crazy mad, Ava." His voice is soft. "I wasn't drunk," I affirm sharply. "Damn it, I wasn't even remotely drunk." "I told you not to drink at all. I knew I shouldn't have let you go out." "I'm curious as to why you think you can dictate what I do," I challenge. "I'm a grown woman. Do you expect me to live a life with you where my every move is controlled?" My voice is quiet, but firm through my dryness. He has to see my point.
His lips form a straight line, and I can hear the cogs start whirling into action.
You're mine. It's my job to keep you safe.
I drop my eyes on a sigh.
You said you were close.
Close to what?
I pull my face up.
He searches my eyes. He must know that I heard.
He looked directly at me after he uttered the words.
Nothing.
Nothing?
I can't help sounding disbelieving.
You want a drink, don't you?
That's what you need to deal with this fucking mess.
His eyes widen.
Well, you watch your fucking mouth. We're in this fucking mess because you went out and completely defied me.
He pushes his face up close to mine.
We would not be in this situation if you'd fucking listen to me.
His insensitive words and the tone in which he delivers them sting painfully.
I'm sorry, I spit. I'm sorry for not listening.
I stand up, leaving him kneeling on the stairs.
I'm sorry if you feel the need to drown in vodka because of me. I'm obviously bad for your health. I'll put you out of your misery.
I pivot and stalk into the bedroom, physically shaking with anger.
Crazy mad, Ava.
I turn and find him stalking toward me with a face like thunder. I back up slightly and then mentally curse myself for not standing my ground. Why can't he see that it's his own unreasonable expectations that are pushing him to complete madness, not me? He stops in front of me, his chest puffing, breathing his minty breath all over me.
Kiss me.
No.
The bloody man is deluded.
His eyes darken and narrow.
Three.
He must be joking. Are you mad?
Crazy fucking mad, Ava. Two.
He is completely serious. Oh my God.
One,
he whispers. I know better than to try and escape this time.
Zero.
I'm captured as if I was running and pinned on the bed in seconds, my arms held above my head by one of his. His jean-clad legs rest over my thighs, restraining me, not that I'm fighting against him. He breathes down on me, tracing the line of my stomach with his finger, and then up the center of my body to my mouth. He rests the tip on my bottom lip before letting it travel back down my body.
Please don't have a drink.
I would never forgive myself if he put his body through that again because of me.
I'm not going to have a drink, Ava.
His voice is flat and unconvincing. It makes me uncomfortable. He pushes himself up to his knees before pulling me up to straddle his lap. He brushes my hair out of my face and clasps my cheeks with his hands.
Last night in the hospital, when you wouldn't come round, I felt my heart getting slower by the minute. You will never know how much I love you. If you were ever taken from me, I wouldn't survive it, Ava. I want to rip my own head off for giving you room to defy me.
My eyes widen at his confession. His face is deadly serious, and it's very worrying. He is, in effect, saying he would kill himself, isn't he? Well, that is just crazy talk, but I don't think I would do well to point that out.
I'm okay, I say in a futile attempt to lighten him up.
But what if you weren't? What if I didn't come when I did?
He clenches his eyes shut. I just came to the bar to check you were okay, and then I was going to leave.
Can you imagine how it felt to see you collapse like that?
His eyes open, and they're glazed and haunted. I know now for sure that I may as well handcuff myself to the bed forever. This isn't healthy for him or me.
It was a freak accident. Someone playing stupid games. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time, that's all.
I take his hands from my face and rest them between our bodies. You will put yourself in a stress-induced coma at this rate. And then, what will I do? I ask quietly.
He shakes his head and starts chewing his lip.
You looked relieved when the doctor said you weren't pregnant.
I look anywhere but at him, instantly mortified.
I missed a pill.
I feel his hand shift and close around mine, and I look up cautiously, finding his accusing eyes and an arched brow.
I missed a few. I lost them again.
You've not replaced them?
I forgot, I shrug.
Okay. He studies me for a while.
So when did you last take your pill?
Only a few days ago, I answer quietly. I'm lying through my teeth, fighting my hand from delving into my hair. I can't believe it's been nearly a whole week, and I've not replaced them.
So you'll replace them?
Tomorrow. A funny look passes over his face. Regret?
Jesse, I pause, not knowing how to piece together what I'm about to imply.
What?
He looks cautious and slightly guilty.
He knows what I'm thinking. I know he does, and I'm super suspicious now.
He can't have seriously been trying to get me pregnant. Would he do that?
I'm not even sure. But if he has been hiding my pills, then he knows damn well I've not been taking them for a week.
Or did he think I'd replaced them already?
Nothing, I say, shaking my head. I know he won't admit it, so I'm playing dumb. But I'll be searching every square inch of this penthouse at the first opportunity.
Your brother rang, he says in an obvious attempt to distract me from my drifting thoughts.
I straighten up. It's worked.
Dan?
Yes.
You spoke to him?
He gives me a dubious look. Well, I couldn't leave it ringing constantly. He would have been worried.
And why is there a lock on your phone?
I laugh to myself. I wonder how many combinations he tried to unlock it.
It didn't stop you answering, though, did it?
What did you say to my brother?
My voice is slightly panicked, which is fine because I'm panicking. Dan will be straight on the phone to Mum, and this, on top of everything else, is not something I want to be explaining.
Well, I didn't tell him what had happened. I don't want your family thinking that I can't look after you. He said you were supposed to be seeing him.
He looks at me like I've committed a serious sin for not telling him of my plans, even though there are no firm plans yet.
You told him I'm living with you, didn't you? My lips straighten.
Yes.
He's completely unapologetic.
I could kill him. Jesse, what have you done?
I drop my head onto his shoulder in hopelessness. Hey, look at me.
He sounds angry again.
I drag my head away from its resting place and look at him with all the misery I feel. His frown line has joined the argument.
Don't you think he would have been worried? Get over it, Ava.
He pulls me down onto his chest, and I notice his heart bucking wildly.
I'm going for a run. You take a shower. I'll get something to eat while I'm out.
Can't you stay? I ask into his chest. I don't want him to go.
No.
He lifts me and directs me into the bathroom.
In the shower.
He turns it on and leaves me in the bathroom feeling affronted and worried. He never wants to leave me.
Chapter 29. A couple of hours later, I walk into the kitchen and find Jesse still in his running gear, with his finger in a jar of peanut butter. I screw my face up in disgust as he glances up and gives me a small smile that doesn't quite reach his eyes.
Cappuccino, extra shot, no chocolate.
He holds up a Starbucks cup, and I take it gratefully.
I got you everything, he shrugs. They don't do salmon.
Thank you. I smile and take a seat next to him.
I hope you've got lace on under all of that baggy shit.
He nods at my body as he plunges his finger into his mouth. I look down at my ripped jeans and cropped Jimi Hendrix t-shirt and smile. I have. I pull my t-shirt up to display my cream lace, and he nods his approval. I thought you were getting dinner. I pull over the nearest paper bag, finding a croissant, and make quick work sinking my teeth into it.
Technically, as you have been asleep all day, it's breakfast time.
He smiles a little.
What do you want to do this evening?
I get to pick.
I gobble around a mouthful of pastry.
He cocks his head to the side.
I told you. I have to let you have your way some of the time.
He reaches up and knocks a flake of pastry from the corner of my mouth.
I'm all for give and take.
A burst of laughter flies out, and I struggle to keep in my half-chewed croissant as I cough and slap my hand over my mouth.
Give and take? This man is beyond crazy. Something funny?
I look up to see a serious face.
No, nothing.
It went down the wrong way. I cough a little more, and God love him, he starts patting my back. I regain control as the intercom starts ringing, and Jesse leaves me to answer it.
Clive?
Yes, send him up.
He replaces the phone.
Jay, he mutters without looking at me.
Jay? Who's Jay?
The doorman. He's got the CCTV footage from the bar.
He puts his peanut butter back in the fridge and leaves the kitchen.
Oh, fucking hell.
CCTV footage that will show me talking to Matt? I think I'm going to be sick. I hear the muffled greetings, and a few moments later, Jesse walks back into the kitchen with Jay. The doorman gives me a small smirk, one that suggests he may have already watched the footage himself and knows what's coming.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be sick.
I get down from the stool and start to leave the kitchen.
Where are you going? Jesse asks me.
I don't look back. My face must display complete panic.
Toilet,
I call, leaving Jesse and Jay in the kitchen. As soon as I'm out of sight, I race up the stairs and shut myself in the bathroom, where I'm safe from the hurricane that I know is coming. I should have known he wouldn't leave it. I should have known he would be on a mission to hunt down the perpetrator. Oh, God, this is so bad. I sit on the toilet seat, get up, walk circles around the bathroom, and then the door handle jiggles.
Ava?
I stand looking at the door.
Yes?
It comes out all squeaky and nervous.
I'm so nervous.
What's up, baby? You okay?
Perhaps I should say no, make out I'm ill, so I can stay in the bathroom.
Yes, fine. I'll be down in a minute.
Saying I'm ill would be stupid. He'd break the door down to tend to me.
Why is the door locked?
I didn't realize I'd locked it. I'm having a wee.
I cringe. It's a good job there's a giant lump of wood between us, because my finger is a knotted mess in my hair.
Okay, don't be long.
I won't. I hear his long, even steps take him out of the bedroom. I'm panicking, really panicking, and I don't know why. I didn't arrange to meet Matt. It was a chance encounter, that's all.
Fuck! Damn him for being so fucking persistent.
Why can't he just let it go, instead of having the doorman lift the CCTV footage?
I should go down and stamp on the thing.
I yank the door open and stomp out of the bathroom, through the bedroom, and out onto the landing.
He's taking this too far.
I'm halted, mid-determined march, when the gigantic flat-screen television comes into view. It lights up like a cinema screen, emphasizing everything, making it seem huge. It's not, though. It's quite blurry. The movements are disjointed, and the screen keeps jumping. Jay starts fast-forwarding the footage, and the whizzing of people passing through the bar, the lights flashing here and there, all make it an even more disordered mush of activity. But then I see myself settling at the table with the others. "Slow it," Jesse orders, and Jay puts the film to normal speed. "That's it. Leave it playing." I lower myself to the top step and watch the television as my night plays out in front of me. Nothing interesting happens, not for a long while. I watch as Tom dives across the table and seizes my hand. I watch as Victoria leaves us to join her date, and then Kate leaves the table, and I know all too well what's coming. I mentally plead for the television to spontaneously combust, but no. Tom leaves, and then Matt approaches. I stiffen from top to toe, and watch as Jesse's shoulders raise, kissing his earlobes. Matt's back is to the camera, but there's no mistaking it's him. I could never fob Jesse off on this. "Pause it," Jesse instructs shortly, walking over to the television, getting way up close to have a good inspection. His head starts nodding thoughtfully. "Keep it going." Jay continues the tape, and Jesse takes a few steps back. This is bad. I'm sitting on the top step, running through the last time Jesse found out I'd seen Matt. I really don't want a repeat of that. Why didn't I foresee this? I watch myself jump down from the stool and crouch to gather my scattered possessions with Tom. "I need another angle," Jesse says.
"There's another camera," Jay answers swiftly.
"Get me it." "Did you see her talking to him?"
"Ward, I do what I can. But if I'm called away to deal with some drunken twat or a few cat-fighting girls, then I can't watch her."
I shake my head to myself. He'll have a bodyguard flanking me next. This is ridiculous.
"I don't need someone watching me," I grate.
Both of their heads swing around to me, Jay suddenly looking uneasy and Jesse looking stiff and agitated. A few moments' silence lingers between us. It's uncomfortable, and I unconsciously wrap myself in my own arms as I sit, while Jesse scrutinizes me.
"Did you leave your drink unattended at any point?" Jay asks.
The question shocks me.
"No!"
"When did you start feeling strange?" Jesse pipes up, his arms folding across his chest.
"I had a little stagger at the bar, but I put it down to my heels."
"Did you speak to anyone at the bar?"
Oh, fuck. Should I lie? I've seen Jesse's reaction to a man coming on to me, and it wasn't pleasant. Shit, shit, shit.
I glanced nervously at Jay. He knows what I'm deliberating. Jesse stares at me with dark, cautionary eyes, his torso rising and falling, his arms still over his chest.
"Answer the question, Ava," he says more calmly than I know he's feeling.
"There was a guy at the bar who offered to buy me a drink. I refused."
I spit the words out quickly, obviously uncomfortable and looking down at my feet. But he's going to find out for himself when he finishes watching the footage, so I may as well be up front.
"It was fine. I left the bar and returned to Kate." I try and brush it off before Jesse passes out. "Stop saying it's fine," he yells.
I jump and reluctantly take a glimpse at him, finding bulging neck veins and a tense jaw. And then something catches my attention on the television, and I look past Jesse. I shouldn't have. I should have ignored it, and then maybe it would have passed before Jesse got a chance to see it. My blood turns to ice. At the bar is a tall, suited man. It's too late to feign ignorance. Jesse swings back toward the screen to see what has caught my abrupt attention. as does Jay. The silence is back as we all watch the man on the screen shift out of view when I get up to go to the bar. Then there's the pumped-up ponytailed creep getting way too close, me dropping my change and gathering it up before I stagger and make my way back to the table. Then the man comes back into view. I squint to try and focus better. Is it him? It certainly looks like it. But his text message said he was in Denmark. I can see Jesse in my peripheral vision twitching, indicating he's having the same thoughts as I am. But I'm watching the footage with complete fascination now, also aware of Jesse's hard breathing, but too wrapped by the television to look and confirm what I already know. He'll be rampant. He thinks it's Michael too. But Jesse doesn't know that he's supposed to be in Denmark. Or does he? We fast-forward the video until Sam walks in and I get up from the table. Then Jesse appears in the lower corner of the screen, and I watch as I collapse, hitting the floor hard, the flurry of people gathering around my lifeless body, blocking out my view. No one says anything, not for a long, uncomfortable time. I turn my eyes to Jesse and find him watching me. I'm not at all comfortable with a blackness in his eyes, and I can feel tears brimming in my own. Should I tell them about the text? Jesse looks sadistic already. Should I add to his obvious fury? Jay coughs, pulling my attention back to him. Have you seen enough? Yes, Jesse answers without taking his eyes off me. It's quite obvious now that Jesse turning up was probably the best thing that could have happened. I'll be off then. Jay gets up and retrieves the disc from the player. I'll see myself out. Jesse says nothing as Jay leaves, shutting the door quietly behind himself. I drop my eyes to my feet. This really could have been so much worse. No doubt Jesse will have something to say about my lack of honesty with regard to Matt's presence, but he can't blame me. Why would I openly offer that information? I'm not completely stupid. Well, it would appear I am. I never gave CCTV footage a thought, and I certainly didn't expect Jesse to start playing Detective Poirot. You didn't mention Matt before. Jesse's calm tone doesn't fool me. And why has he homed in on that instead of the more important issue at hand? The tall, suited man at the bar. I know he thinks it's him, too. My shoulders rise anxiously, but I don't look up. I already know he's angry. I don't need visual confirmation, and I should think it's pretty obvious why I didn't mention Matt. I didn't want to upset you. Upset me? His voice is high with surprise. Okay, I didn't want to piss you off. I look up at him and find a completely impassive expression. I'm surprised. I was expecting boiling mad. It was a chance meeting.
But you had a few minutes' conversation. What did you talk about?
He apologized.
And that took a few minutes?
His eyebrows are raised. He's right. An apology doesn't even take 2 seconds. But I can't remember every detail of the conversation.
I told you not to see him again.
I gape at him. Jesse, I didn't plan on it. I told you. It was only by chance. What did he want me to do? Walk out of the bar? I wanted to know how he knows about you.
Do you care?
He's reining in his temper. I can see it. No, I don't. His teeth start working his bottom lip as he watches me. I feel guilty and I don't know why. I've done nothing wrong. He's not shouting at me, but he's clearly not happy. What am I supposed to do? I know he's thinking exactly what I'm thinking about Michael, but he can't possibly be mad at me about that, because I didn't even know he was there, if it was even him.
Then leave it.
He starts across the open space of the penthouse and up the stairs.
I'm going for a shower.
He walks straight past me, leaving me stunned by his calm facade. I think I would rather have him blow his top. At least then I would know where I am. I haul myself up and make my way toward the bedroom. I need to establish exactly what is going on in that complex mind of his. I know he's mad, so why is he holding back his temper? It's not pleasant, but I would rather he blow his top and clear the air. I feel like I'm hovering over a detonate button. I walk into the bedroom and pad across to the bathroom, finding him under the spray. Even now, I'm drawn to the mass of beauty that stands before me, quaking with anger. It's potent, but he's not letting rip. Will you please just rant at me and have it over with? I sit myself on the vanity unit and put my hands in my lap. I notice for the first time since I woke up that my engagement ring is missing. Did he take it off? The thought is like a stake through my heart. I don't like this, not one little bit. He doesn't say a word. He carries on soaping himself down before stepping out and grabbing a towel to dry himself off. He leaves me sitting exactly where I am, my eyes darting around the bathroom, uncertainty plaguing me. I lower myself down and walk nervously back into the bedroom. Jessie! He completely ignores me and goes into the wardrobe, appearing a few moments later in some faded jeans. His jaw is ticking constantly, and I can see it's taking his every effort to hold onto his emotions. I never thought I would want him to fly off the handle. And where is he going anyway? He pulls a grey T-shirt over his head and makes his way back into the bathroom while I stand in the middle of the room wondering what the hell to do. I follow him again and find him brushing his teeth. His eyes flick to mine in the mirror. I feel anxious, uncomfortable. Please, speak to me. He finishes brushing his teeth and splashes his face with water before bracing himself on the edge of the vanity unit and taking a few deep breaths. I prepare myself for the storm, but it doesn't come. He walks straight past me and into the bedroom. I follow like a desperate soul. Where are you going? I ask his back as he makes his way to the door. He stops, and it's a few moments before he turns dark, troubled eyes on me. I need to sort some things out at the manor. His voice is devoid of any emotion, whereas I'm close to wailing. I'm petrified. I thought we were doing something this evening, I remind him desperately.
Something came up, he mutters, and turns to leave.
You're mad with me, I cry frantically. I don't want him to go. I would usually insist on me going with him, and I would fight him on it, but now I want to go. He shakes his head and lets it fall slightly, but he doesn't face me. I need to see his face. He walks out of the bedroom, and I collapse to the floor and cry. I feel helpless and incomplete. All of this pain, because I wanted to have the final say. All of this, because I insisted on going out and proving a point. The only point I've proved is that I'm at a loss without him. I drag myself up and across the room, collapsing onto the bed, and finding my way to the place that smells the most of him. It's a meager substitute for the real thing. Only he can make this better, make all of this go away. And worst of all, I know where he has gone, who will be there, and what he'll be doing. What am I supposed to do? I'm a mess. My face feels swollen and stingy with tears, and my head hurts from too many disturbing thoughts. Will he crack open a bottle of vodka? I know that if he does, I won't be seeing him anytime soon. Not when he's like that. I would rather not have him at all than have the hollow beast that is Jesse drunk. I never want to see that man again. I sit up on the bed, suddenly remembering something. He's not here, and I am. And I'm alone. I jump up and run into the bathroom, flinging open the cosmetics unit and staring at the masses of bottles, boxes, and tubes. Starting my search, I shift the contents of the unit to the side, my shaking hands doing me no favors in executing the operation without knocking bottles over. A frustrated yell slips from my mouth, and in a temper, I sweep my hand through all of the shelves, knocking bottles all over the bathroom floor. What am I thinking? He's not stupid enough to hide them in such an obvious place. I leave the bathroom and run into the wardrobe, shoving my hands into every pocket of his suit jackets, inside and out, tipping his shoes upside down, and searching through piles of neatly folded T-shirts. Nothing, but I'm not giving up. My pills are mysteriously disappearing, and they have been since I met this man. What's he playing at? I drop myself to the floor of the wardrobe, wiping my still streaming tears away, and proceed to hunt through his jean pockets, tossing clothes all over the wardrobe in a frenzy, but finding nothing. The gold satin gift bag slips out as I yank a suit jacket down from a hanger, the contents spilling onto the floor. Condoms. We don't need those. He is trying to get me pregnant. Fucking hell! I fly around the penthouse like a madwoman, searching every drawer and cupboard, anywhere he could possibly hide them, but an hour later, still no pills. I halt when I hear my phone ringing in the distance, and I track the sound until it cuts off. Fuck, I curse to myself, but then the text message tone starts bleeping, and I follow it to the armchair where I found Jesse sitting earlier. I grope down the side and find my phone. The missed call is from my mum. Oh, God. Has Dan been onto her already? I really cannot be talking to her now. A really uncharitable thought, but I don't even know where I am myself to be able to tell her. My heart sinks when I see the text is from John.
He's fine, but you should probably come.
My heart lifts a little at the first part of the message, and then sinks just as quickly. I should probably go. Is John playing tug-of-war with Jesse and a bottle of vodka? I fly up the stairs and run into the bathroom to scrub my face and attempt to generally sort myself out. It's no good. I look like I've been wailing, and no amount of makeup or washing will help. After retrieving my keys, I make a hasty run for my car. I make the drive to the manor in record time, and I'm not at all surprised when I pull up to the gates and they open immediately. John must be looking out for me. My pace up the driveway is fast and frantic in my desperation to get to him. I find the manor's door open and run through the entrance hall, ignoring the noise coming from the bar and restaurant. All conversation halts when I run through the summer room. I'm sure if I paid attention, there would be many vicious, scowling faces pointed straight at me, but I don't have the time or inclination to stop and soak up the resentment. As I approach the door to Jesse's office, I hear a thundering crack that makes me jump. What the hell was that? I hold the door handle and look behind me, but find the corridor empty. I turn the handle of the door and push it open.
Ava!
Big John's loud rumble travels down the corridor, halting my progression, but I can't see him.
Fucking motherfucker! Ava, wait!
He appears moving faster than I would think possible for such a mountain of a man, his glasses in place as he hurdles towards me like a steam train.
Jesus, woman, don't go in there!
I look at the frantic beast, rocketing toward me in slow motion, and jump at the sound of another ear-piercing snap. It pulls my attention from John's booming voice and toward Jesse's office. What is that? I push the door open a little farther until the full room comes into view. And I choke. Oh, Jesus Christ! Chapter 30. I stagger back on a loss of a few dozen beats of my heart. What the fucking hell is going on?
No!
John crashes into me and grasps me around the waist. I lose all feeling as I stare at the hideousness before me, and then fight with the incredible strength of John, who's trying to haul me out of the room. I don't know how, adrenaline perhaps, but I break free from John and fall into the room as Sarah raises the evil-looking whip that she's holding and brings it thrashing down on Jesse's back. My stomach jumps into my throat, and I feel John's warm palm wrap around the top of my arm.
Ava, darling,
John's voice is the softest I've ever heard it.
You don't need to see this.
I shrug him off and stand, trying to piece together the scene unfolding before me. It's hard, even though time has slowed and every tiny detail is perfectly clear to me. Jesse is shirtless and kneeling on the floor, his head dropped limply. He hasn't even looked up. Sarah is standing behind him, kitted out in black leather trousers, a leather bodice, and thigh-high leather boots, looking as evil as the whip in her hand. I can't move. I'm completely rooted to the spot. My legs are shaking, my heart beating so fast it might escape my chest, and I can't open my mouth. What's happening? Sarah glances up at me, a look of deep satisfaction on her face, as she slowly raises the whip again. I want to scream, tell her to stop, but my mouth is dry and not responding to my brain's commands. Her pouty face screams pleasure at subjecting Jesse to this wicked torture, and no doubt having me here to bear witness to it. She brings the whip crashing down on Jesse's bare flesh again, and he arches his back, throwing his head back, but he doesn't make a sound. The loud scream echoing around the room is me. His head snaps up as my cry seeps into his ears. I'm struggling against John again, who has regained his hold on me. Let go of me! I fight harder, twisting my body in his grip, clawing and hitting him.
Ava?
Jesse's voice stills me. It's weak and broken as his head turns in my direction. A desperate cry escapes my mouth as our eyes meet, and all I find are empty glazed holes. He doesn't look completely with it. He looks drugged and hollow. He makes to stand, but staggers forward slightly in complete disorientation. My eyes fall onto his back, finding at least 10 angry welts spread from one side of his back to the other, overlapping and seeping with beads of blood. I feel sick. My stomach starts to heave, and as Sarah raises the whip again, I hear John in the distance bellowing her name. My knees give out, and I crumble to the floor at John's feet.
Ava.
Jesse makes it to a standing position, but he's nowhere near stable. He shakes his head, as if trying to regain his focus, his confused face becoming stricken as he registers my presence.
Jesus, no!
Fear floods his handsome features. Even his voice is unstable. He goes to walk forward, but he's stopped by Sarah, who's grabbing at his arm.
Get the fuck off me, he roars, knocking her backward. Ava, baby, what are you doing here?
He rushes forward and drops to his knees in front of me, grabbing at my face and searching for my eyes. He's a complete blur through my tears. I can't speak. I'm just shaking my head frantically, trying to rid my brain of what I have just witnessed. Is this a nightmare? He wasn't fighting her off at all. He knelt there, waiting for the blows in a total trance. I throw my arms out to bat him away from me and scramble to my feet.
Ava, please,
he pleads, as I push his grabbing hands from me. I need to get out of here. I turn, knocking John out of the way, and run in blind shock down the corridor, emerging into the massive summer room. As I hurry through, I'm vaguely aware of shocked gasps, and I turn to see Jesse and John in pursuit of me. I slap my hand over my mouth as I feel the bile rising in my throat. Oh, God! I'm going to throw up! I fall through the toilet door and into a cubicle, slamming the door behind me and just make it over the bowl before I proceed to evacuate the contents of my stomach on loud, painful retches, my face wet with sweat and tears. I'm in the lowest level of hell. The sound of the toilet door crashing into the tiled wall rings out around the ladies' washroom.
Ava!
He bangs on the door behind me, and I sink to my bum as I feel another round of violent heaves coming on.
Ava! Open the door!
I can't answer him through my persistent retching, even if I wanted to. What the hell am I supposed to say? I've just watched him accept a thrashing from a woman I despise. A woman who I know wants Jesse and hates me. My imagination doesn't stretch to this kind of callousness. I throw up again and fumble for some toilet paper to wipe my mouth as the door continues to bang behind me.
Please,
he begs, and a dull thud meets the door. I know it's his forehead.
Ava, please open the door.
My tears gather force again at the sound of him begging. I can't possibly look into the eyes of the man I love, knowing he has done this to himself.
Who let her in?
His tone has turned fierce, and he punches the door.
Fuck! Who the fucking hell let her in?
Jesse, I didn't let her in. I would never have let her in.
John's low hum is soothing. I want to jump to his defense. He didn't let me in. John's fretful voice, his attempts to stop me from entering Jesse's office, it all brings me to one conclusion. He didn't text me. He didn't open the gates. She's done it again. I've underestimated her hatred of me. She has more than succeeded in her attempt to shock me, but that doesn't detract from the fact that Jesse was actively, willingly participating in the appalling activity. Why? What's going on? The familiar sound of Kate's voice gives me hope of escaping this horror scene. Fuck, Jesse! What the hell has happened to your back?
Nothing,
he snaps. Don't fucking talk to me like that! Where's Ava? What the hell is going on? Ava? She calls my name, and I'm desperate to answer her. But I know if I open the door, Jesse will be in. I can't see him.
She's in there. She won't come out.
Ava!
He calls.
Please, Kate, get her out!
He bangs the door again. He sounds desperate and frantic. Hey! Tell me why she's locked in there and why you're out here bleeding all over the place. Kate's voice is fierce.
Ava walked in on something she shouldn't have seen. She's freaked out. I need to see her.
His talking is strained through his heavy breathing. I want to scream exactly why I freaked out, but I'm attacked by another succession of wretches, rendering me incapable of speech.
"If you fucked her over, Jesse," Kate shouts. "Ava!"
He's fucked me over all right, but not in the way she's thinking. It's almost worse. It is worse.
"No," Jesse's voice is full of defense. "It's not like that."
"Well, what is it like, then? She's in there throwing up. Ava!" The subtle knock of Kate's fist starts drumming on the door. "Ava, come on! Open the door!"
"Ava!" Jesse shouts frantically.
"Jesse, just go!" Kate yells.
"No."
"She's obviously not going to come out with you here."
"Hey, big guy, get him out of here."
"Jesse," John rumbles,
and I pray that Jesse listens to him and leaves. I'm not going anywhere with him out there.
"Let's get you sorted out, you stupid motherfucker."
I sit with my head in my hands while I listen to the back and forth coaxing of Jesse from the bathroom. I eventually hear the door open and close again, and then Kate's subtle knocking on the door.
"Ava, he's gone,"
Kate assures me through the door. I lift up and slide the lock across to let my friend into the toilet with me. She pushes through the small gap and screws her face up at the vomit-splattered bowl.
"What the hell's going on?"
She crouches on the other side of the cubicle, so we're knee to knee. I take a few controlled breaths through my sobs and try to steady my vocal cords.
"He had himself whipped."
The sound of those words has me throwing my head back over the toilet pan, but all I'm achieving is choking myself on dry heaves. I feel Kate rubbing my back.
"He what?"